Please take your copy of God's Word and find the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, our text today, verses 27 through 36. Luke 6, 27 through 36. And thank you to John Del Rector for so wonderfully leading us in Brother Jamie's absence today. We are blessed to have John Del as a part of our staff team, our pastoral team. And he is the most diversely gifted person on staff. He preaches, he prays, he sings, he leads, he conducts. He leads people to Jesus. He cares for the needy. And how blessed we are to have him as a part of this fellowship. Some of you are old enough to remember in March 1981, just 2 months after assuming the presidency of the United States, Ronald Reagan made his way across Washington, D.C. to speak to a union assembly, and he exited the hotel that day. A young man named John Hinckley was there waiting outside. And John Hinckley shot the president along with several other members of the presidential party. Reagan was rushed to the emergency room in the hospital, and there he almost lost his life, but by God's grace was survived. Later, President Reagan wrote these words regarding his time there when he first entered the emergency room and he laid there on a gurney. He said, and I quote, "I focused on that tiled ceiling and I prayed. But I realized that I couldn't ask for God's help while at the same time I felt hatred for the mixed up young man who had shot me. Isn't that the meaning of the lost sheep? We are God's children and therefore equally beloved by Him. I began to pray for his soul that he would find his way back into the fold." Remarkable in the light of what had just happened. We all have enemies. Some of us have public enemies. In fact, all of us have some public enemies. Perhaps the public enemy in your life would be a greedy employer who takes advantage of his employees, or the crooked politician who seeks his own personal gain above that of the gain of his constituents, or the reckless driver who injures an innocent bystander, or the terrorist who brings fire and death and destruction. There are certain public enemies. And then there are more personal enemies, like a demeaning boss that you have to relate to every day, or scheming coworkers in your office area, or angry and a cantankerous neighbor who just makes life miserable for you and everybody in the neighborhood, or a hostile spouse, or a friend who's no longer your friend because he or she has betrayed you. Who is your enemy? Has some name come into your mind? Some face come into your mind? Someone who's wronged you, someone who's injured you, someone who's betrayed you, someone who's insulted you, someone who's lied about you or slandered your good name? Is there a person you're thinking of right now? Well, if so, this is the very person that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling you to love. Think with me this morning about this subject, the case for loving unconditionally. The case for loving unconditionally. Our text is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. You know the context. It is the Sermon on the Plain. It is Jesus speaking to his followers, to his disciples, and giving them instructions about how we are to live in the kingdom of God. We begin with verse 27 and go through verse 36. Jesus said, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. I have to confess to you that when I was working in this text earlier in the week, I came out of my study and I walked past my secretary and I said to her, "Is Jesus crazy?" She had a very bewildered look on her face to hear her pastor say, "Jesus," I didn't say he was crazy, I just asked the question. This is counter-cultural truth. I understand, love your friends. Love your husband, love your wife, love your children. Love the people that love you. Love the people that vote like you. Love the people that dress like you. Love the people that smell like you. Love the people that think like you. But love your enemies? Well, we all know Jesus is not crazy. He's the sanest person that ever lived. So there's got to be something here for us. But he said it not once but twice. Verse 27, Jesus said, love your enemies. And he said it also down in verse 35. But love your enemies. So we have to surmise then that this is a different kind of love than we know very much about. This is a supernatural love. This is an unconditional love that comes only from the grace of God and through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. So think with me this morning about the case for loving unconditionally. There are three truths I want you to see with me in this passage this morning. First of all, in verses 27 through 31, I want you to see with me that unconditional love is possible. But don't just write it off and say it's not possible. It's not possible to love some people unconditionally. It's just impossible to love some people. They're so unlovely and so difficult and so hard to get along with. How could I ever love them? But I want to suggest to you that, among other things, Jesus is teaching in this portion of the Sermon on the Plain that unconditional love is possible. Otherwise, he's asking us to do that which is impossible. But the fact of the matter is, in our strength, it is impossible, is it not? But we're not alone. We have a helper. We have the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit of God, who has come to live within us. If it were not possible by the grace of God, Jesus would not have commanded us to love our enemies. But let's just back up and remind ourselves who the audience is. If you look back in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, Luke tells us, looking at his disciples, he said, and he began this Sermon on the Plain. Yes, there were those there listening that day. A large crowd, we're told, were listening there. But Jesus directed his comments not to the crowd. Jesus directed his words, his teachings, to his disciples, those who are his followers. So the audience is the sons and daughters of God. What's that say to us? It says that as Christians, among other things, we're different. We're different from everybody else. If we're not different, perhaps we're not born again. We're to be holy. To be holy is to be different. To be different is to be set apart. We are different to make a difference. And if we're just like everybody else who doesn't name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then why bother at all? So we're different. And our difference in this particular case expresses itself by the practice of unconditional love, even for those who are our enemies, those who tried to do us in, those who've taken advantage of us, those who've ripped us off in some kind of financial transaction, those who've slandered us. We relate to them differently than unbelievers do. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, love your enemies. Jesus said it, but I don't feel any love in my heart for my enemies. Pastor, if you knew what he did to me, if you knew what she said about me, you would give me some slack on this one. Well, if love were merely a feeling, perhaps I would, but love is not a feeling. I mean, eventually our feelings catch up with our actions, but quite frankly, love begins with an action. And you'll notice how Jesus, after he says here in verse 27, love your enemies, he tells you some practical steps that you can take to implement love for your enemies. In fact, he gives us six of them here in verses 27 through 31. So let's just look at them. Jesus said, love your enemies. Here's how you do it. Number one, verse 27, you love your enemies by doing good to those who hate you. That's an action step that you and I can take. Somebody is our enemy. Somebody's giving us a hard time. How do we respond? We do good to them. We find some action we can take. Fact of the matter is, while we're not saved by good works express a saved, transformed life. It's by grace through faith that you're saved, not by works. But we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And the good works perhaps have their greatest effect when we are showing good works to those who are enemies. Some of you will remember 1989, the collapse of the Berlin Wall. The Soviet Union imploded a couple years later, but the Berlin Wall came down first. East Germany was a satellite state of the Soviet Union. And no person in East Germany was more despised than the communist dictator Erich Honecker. When his government fell, he was stripped of all of his offices. Even the Communist Party that he had led for so many decades rejected him. They kicked him out of his villa. The new government refused him new housing. And the Prime Minister and his wife were homeless. Entering into the picture, Pastor Holmer, director of a Christian help center north of Berlin. Made aware of the former Prime Minister's straits, Pastor Holmer felt it would be wrong to give them a room meant for even needier people than he. And so this pastor and his family decided to take them into their home. In light of the fact, he did that even in light of the fact that Erich Honecker's wife, Margot, had ruled the East German educational system for 26 years, and eight of Pastor Holmer's 10 children had been turned down for higher education due to Mrs. Honecker's policies, which discriminated against Christians. And now they were being cared for by this pastor and his wife, the most hated man in Germany. I want to tell you, that's unnatural. It's supernatural. A good deed. Jesus said, this is how you love your enemies. You do good to those who hate you. And number two, in verse 28, he says, you bless those who curse you. You see, our speech reveals our heart. And it's easy, you know, tit for tat. Somebody curses you, you curse them back. But we bless them. And it could be something as simple as when you get cut off trying to enter the interstate highway. What's your reaction? Do you bless or do you curse? You say, well, they can't hear me. I wish they could hear me, but they can't. God does hear all. Bless and do not curse. Verse 28. Here's a third thing you can do to love your enemies. Pray for those who mistreat you. Well, that's a hard one. That calls for God's grace. There's no person on the planet who's been mistreated more than Jesus. You mistreat me, you're one sinner mistreating another sinner, I'll probably deserve some of it. I mistreat you, that's the same thing. But what they did to Jesus at the cross was absolutely indefensible. He was the sinless Lamb of God. And he was spit upon. He was whipped and beaten. He was laughed at. He was mocked. And on the cross, what did Jesus do? He prayed. And what did he pray? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If anybody had grounds to say, I don't have to take this. I don't have to pray for you. It was Jesus. And then the first Christian martyr, Stephen, when he was being stoned, he prayed a prayer very similar to the prayer that Jesus prayed when he prayed, Father, forgive them for what they're doing. So do good, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And then look in verse 29, no revenge. Jesus says here, turn the other cheek. Verse 29, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. It sounds like Jesus is saying, just let the thieves run wild. Now, somebody comes up, takes your cloak, let him have your tunic as well. Somebody comes up and attacks you, let him just get away with it. I want to say to you that we need to make a distinction here. And I believe this is a legitimate distinction here between the proper role of the civil authority as opposed to our personal response. What Jesus is saying here is no revenge. God has ordained the role of civil government to take care of thieves and rapists and murderers and robbers and such. And I agree with Pastor John MacArthur who said, and I quote, the turn the other cheek rule cannot be meant to keep civil government from punishing evildoers. To apply these principles in the civil arena would be to surrender society to chaos. Civil government is ordained by God precisely for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Justice obligates us to uphold the law and to insist that others do so as well. Reporting crime is both a civic responsibility and an act of compassion. To excuse or help cover up the wrongdoing of others is an act of wicked complicity with evil. To fail to protect the innocent is itself a serious evil. God has ordained the civil authorities, the magistrates, the courts, the judges, the police, the military, to protect the innocent and to punish the evildoer. But this is what Jesus is talking about here now is a case of revenge. There are proper ways to have our injustices adjudicated. Revenge is not one of them. When Paul wrote the church in Rome, he said, quoting the Lord, the vengeance is mine, the Lord says, I will repay. So what we have here is no revenge. We love our enemies not by getting even, but we love them by blessing them, praying for them, doing good for them. Number five, by being generous. Look in verse 30. Jesus says, give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. You say, that's strange. Well, not a bad way to live if you think about it. If we're grasping on to our possessions as if they're the most valuable thing we have, and we don't realize that God is the owner and we're the stewards, then yeah, we're going to be messed up. We're going to want to hold on to it if we don't realize that we're just merely the steward and God is the owner and we're going to lose it all eventually someday on the day of our death. So let's just hold all things loosely in our hands, and if somebody takes it, doesn't bring it back, so be it. Don't worry about it. Be generous. And then number six, this is one of the most famous sayings in all the Bible. The golden rule, verse 36, Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. He didn't say do to others before they do you in, did he? He said, treat other people the same way you'd like to be treated. I want to suggest to you the single greatest relationship rule and the single greatest leadership rule that I know of is found right here. You having trouble in your marriage? Having trouble in your work relationships? Having trouble in the neighborhood? Right here. Jesus said, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. It works. Now, it's not easy, but it works. In fact, Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies by blessing them, by praying for them, by not taking revenge, by doing good to them, by being generous to them, and by treating them the same way you wish they would be treating you. It can be a challenge at times, calls for the grace of God at times. One missionary lady and her husband and her family had had an unusually difficult term of service. And they were looking forward to their stateside assignment. For the first time, this missionary wife and mother was going to have a place of her own. She was being provided a large townhouse apartment with a patio. And being a very creative type, she was looking forward to decorating the townhouse. They were having a good time for a few months, and then some new neighbors moved in next door, and the best word to describe the new neighbors would be coarse. There was loud music day and night with a constant flow of obscenities. The neighbors urinated in the front yard in broad daylight. They totally disrupted her peace. She could see nothing good in her new neighbors. So she asked the Lord to help her be more loving. But all she got back in response was disgust and rejection. Crisis came when she returned home one day to find that her neighbor's children had spray-painted orange paint all over her beautiful patio, the walls, the floors, everything. She was not only distraught, this time she was furious. She tried to pray, but she found herself crying out to God, God, I cannot love these neighbors. I hate these neighbors. Knowing that she had to deal with the sin in her own heart, she began to converse with the Lord. And God brought to her mind Colossians 3:14. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So in her heart, she questioned, Lord, how do I put on love? It's a good question. The only way she could picture it was like put on a coat. And so that's what she determined to do. She chose to wrap herself in the love of God. And as a result, she began to experience the deeper love of Christ within her life. She began to make a list of all the things that she would do if she really loved her difficult neighbors. And then she did what she wrote down. She baked them cookies and took them to them. She offered to babysit for free. She invited the mother over for coffee. And as she began to do these good deeds, the most beautiful thing happened. She began to know and understand them. She began to see that they were living under tremendous pressure. She began to love those who she had once regarded as her enemies. She did good to them. She lent to them without expecting anything in return. The day came, they moved away, and she wept because she had learned to love them by the supernatural grace of the Spirit of God. Unconditional love is possible by the grace of God. Who's your enemy? Jesus says, love him. Love her. But not only is unconditional love possible, I want you to see with me number 2, verses 32 and through 34, that unconditional love is exceptional. You've probably gathered that by now. I won't elaborate on that very much. I think we know that without Jesus even telling us that, but he does tell us that. Look in verses 32, 33, and 34. Here Jesus says, this kind of love, this kind of unconditional love for your enemies is pretty rare. He says in verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Okay, that's a good question. Next question, verse 33. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Third question, verse 34. And if you lend to those for whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Here's a man who doesn't know God. Here's a woman that doesn't know God. And he loves her because she loves him. He lends to her because he knows she can pay back. I mean, even the mafia look out for one another, right? What's the big deal there? If somebody is going to treat you right, it's no big deal to treat them right. Unconditional love, the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here, loving your enemies is exceptional. And here is where you and I, who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and profess to love Him and follow Him and keep His commandments, here's where you and I have the opportunity to make an extraordinary impact in the community. And that is by being different from other people when we are mistreated. We do the things Jesus said. When we're abused, then we meet abuse with kindness. When we're slandered, we pray. When we're taken advantage of in a financial transaction, we just write it off. We don't get revenge. Now, that's countercultural. But the longer I live and the more I read this book and the more I study the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I see that this is a countercultural lifestyle to which we've been called. And as the culture grows increasingly dark, then we have an opportunity to shine brighter than ever before by living lives like Jesus talks about here. So, we're talking about unconditional love. Jesus said it's possible, but it is exceptional. Pretty rare. Now, number 3, verses 35 and 36. Unconditional love is God-like. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like God the Father. Look at verse 35 and 36 again. Jesus said, love your enemies. That's the second time he says it here. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. He's reiterating what he said. I always take great consolation when I read something Jesus said and he repeats himself. He said, pastors shouldn't repeat themselves. Well, sometimes they shouldn't. If they don't know when to land a plane and put it on the runway and go home. But as long as he's moving in a straight line, it's okay. And many, many times I repeat myself in this pulpit, I want to make sure you get it because I know the first time I said it, some of you weren't listening. So I got to say it twice or maybe 3 times. Your mind tends to wander, doesn't it? I know because I sit out there sometimes and we have guest preachers. You know, you just lose somebody for 30 seconds. Jesus repeats himself. He says, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting anything back. And notice what he says here. Then your reward will be great. Now, what is the reward? Well, to be sons of the Most High. And you will be sons of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Unconditional love is God-like. It is like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reward is that we become increasingly conformed to the image of the Son of God. That's why God chose us in eternity past and predestined us to be holy and blameless in His sight. And you notice that Jesus said that God is, He's kind. He's kind to the ungrateful. Those who turn their back to Him, who never give Him thanks. And He's kind also to the wicked. Those that are not only depraved, but live out their depravity in ways that good moral folk perhaps covered up. And He's merciful. God is kind and merciful. And That's what it's like to love somebody unconditionally. Because, watch this. God loves us unconditionally. If you think God loves you because you're better than others, think again. You missed it. You missed it 180 degrees. If you think God loves you more than a terrorist, think again. If you think God loves you more because you came to Sunday school this morning and He loves you more than the prostitute, think again. Think again. We are all the enemies of God. God didn't look down and see someone here trying real hard and say, I'm going to put my grace on them because they're really trying, and look over here and say, no, these over here, we'll leave those alone. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and then we're done. Don't miss this, though. Do not miss this. This is who we are, and this is what the love of God is all about here. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and following. Now Paul says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. We're the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's while we were in rebellion, while we were still in sin, while our back was turned away from God, while we had no time for God, that God the Father sent God the Son into this world to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Verse 9, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Watch this now, verse 10. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? When were we reconciled to God the Father? By the death of God the Son? Look again in verse 10. When we were God's enemies. You say, I never declared war on God. God said you did. We were the enemies of God. Think about that. The love of God given to His enemies. Amazing. It's hard for us to put our little minds around that. Here it is. Now, if God loved me when I was His enemy, and God loved you when you were still His enemy, and He did, and still loves those who are His enemies. And certainly, we ought to humble ourselves before God and say, God, I have enemies, and I can't love them in my strength, but You've commanded me to do so. You give me the grace. I'm going to take step one and two and three, or whatever it is You lead me to do, to begin to demonstrate kindness and mercy and grace to my enemies. And you watch the supernatural change in your own soul. I'm telling you, it is real. And you don't have to be in bondage to your own passions and your own spirit of revenge that the devil wants to put upon you. You can be free. But you'll never be free until you do it God's way. Now, for some of you, you're still God's enemy because you've never repented of your sins. You've never come in brokenness before God and bowed the knee before the cross of Christ. You've never cried out to Jesus, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. You can't experience the liberating Spirit of God in your life, enabling you to love your enemies until first you humble yourself before Christ and His cross. then you can do that today. In just a moment, we're going to pray, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. And if you know that you need a Savior, I want to tell you, you can be saved today. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. God's offer of grace is extended to any man, any woman, anywhere who will repent and trust and obey. And this can be your hour of salvation. Pray with me. God our Father, we come now in the name above every name, the name Jesus, in whose name there is reconciliation, in whose name there is redemption, in whose name there is forgiveness and pardon and justification. And we pray, Spirit of God, for that man, woman, young person who needs to know Christ, that today may be the day of salvation. And Lord, I pray for those in this room who know Jesus, but who are bound up with their own bitterness, unforgiveness, spirit of revenge. Oh, Spirit of God, set them free this day. Set them free to be able to love their enemies unconditionally, just as Jesus has commanded. We ask it in His name and for His glory. Amen. We